Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think it's going well.
Hey, look. Third time lucky. Third time's a charm. Minute Tim's episode 282, the flagship podcast. I'm your host Jamie, joined by Mark Melly.
You are.
And Stephen.
Hiya.
There you go. Is that your Australian accent?
No, I don't know what that was. Trying something different. Keep them guessing.
I keep the body guessing. Listen, if you like this podcast, if you love the podcast, if you're indifferent about the podcast and you've just got a bit of cash about you, patreon.com/20minutetims is where you can support this podcast and make our dreams come true. I thought...
If only everyone was as honest as that with their sales pitch, even if you don't care about it, but, you know.
If your first name is Sheikh, for example, and you're watching from Dubai or one of the Emirates and you want to fund a couple of chancers doing a Celtic podcast, then we're your guys. Melly.
Yes.
I thought Celtic were going to be in for a difficult weekend at Hampden, a difficult afternoon at Hampden, up against the current cup holders in the League Cup competition and just first bite at the cherry. And for a wee while, it did look as if it was going to be a tough afternoon.
It did look like a tough afternoon. We sort of hummed and hawed at spells, but looking at St Johnstone, they're coming to a cup semi-final. As you said, they're the holders. Cup game, you need to go and win it at some point, lads. If you want to get to the final, you need to try and score. I don't know if they're...
It's so simple when Nelly puts it like that, isn't it? If you want to get to the final, you need to score.
Play for a point.
I don't know if that's what the plan was. Like, well, we won in penalties before, so maybe if we can get to penalties, we can do it that way. But nothing from St Johnstone in attack, which to me just felt like, right, Celtic aren't playing tremendously, but see if we do score. This game is done. Mm-hmm. This game is done. And we did get the goal, and once we did get the goal, I never felt like Celtic were going to let in a goal or even attempt to lose the game. But so that was just pretty much part of time after that. And for the final whistle, the scenes, it was absolutely brilliant. Hampden, for all its flaws, the start of the game, the Bertie Ahl tribute, and then the end of the game, all tremendous. A lovely wee day out, which turned in a lovely wee weekend.
I suppose we need to make mention, because it's the first time, Stephen, since we've had the opportunity on the podcast to make mention of the fact that Bertie Ahl had passed, that every time the Green Brigade set out to do one of these tributes to a Celtic player and any sort of display, but particularly when it's a tribute to a Celtic player, they always nail it. And then it gets the atmosphere piping hot. As soon as that Bertie, and now I know you were underneath it, you can see it, but as soon as you saw that, you're like, fucking here we go, man. Do you know, it's like Hampden's ours. And then when the 67th minute came and everyone put the torches on their phones, which I love anyway, and then they unfurled the image of Bertie and it had the flares and the pyro and all that going around it. I thought he would fucking love that. He would be all in for that.
Ain't no half-stepping for the Green Brigade once again. Yeah, it was the first time I can remember actually being part of one. I got to my seat. I wasn't directly behind the goal. I was just sort of round to the corner flag. The corner flag that James Forrest came over and celebrated that. I was kind of round there, but I was under the first display and couldn't quite get a good view. I could basically work out what it was. The 67th minute one, it was very obvious what it was, but I couldn't get a good view of it. It was only later when I saw a video of it. It was very, very impressive. Can you see it for the smoke, for the flares right off it? And you don't want to see that in Scottish football. That's my generic clean shirt impression there. Yeah, we can't condone that behaviour from
There's
fans.
Always somebody that says that, isn't there? Aye. Just gear up, right?
It doesn't need to say it.
Nobody wants to see it. Everybody wants to see it.
Everybody looks class.
Europe wants to see it. Yeah. Everybody around the world wants to see that kind of thing. But yeah,
look at Kyogo picture. He looks brilliant.
Oh, yeah, that was a stunning picture, isn't it? But very, very impressive. A big occasion, very somber occasion for obvious reasons. It's a number of days since Bertie Ahl passed away. But I think as impossible as it is to do a guy like that justice, they made a fair shake of it with that tribute. That was very impressive stuff.
Merely, the game itself, I was listening to the St. Johnstone manager, Callum Davidson, after the game, and he says, you know, if you told me that I would limit Celtic to three or two chances on goal... Stephen's slow clapping here. He goes, I would have bit your hand off. And I immediately thought, aye, mate, but you conceded one of those. You conceded a third of the goals that you tried not to. You said they try. I think it might be you. They try to turn up and play for a point. See if I was a St. Johnstone fan or player, I'd be fuming at that. Because you're saying, we're here to defend this. Aye. We're here to defend this tournament. And they came up and they offered absolutely nothing. That big boy, who was the guy up front with the elbows?
Kane.
Was it Chris Kane with the elbows? And it just sort of descended and there was a wee bit of that. And I just thought, this is not what a cup's, this is not the spectacle a cup's semi final's meant to be. Now, we don't want every team to turn up and have a go and so we can just run right over the top of them. But Hibs had to go at Rangers and look what happened.
Yep.
Yeah. And it just shows you, you know, these wee teams, they can have a chance, they can have a pop, maybe something will come off of them. But I was like, I was bored by St. Johnstone for most parts of that game.
Yeah, and you're right. Look, Hibs went into that game yesterday in the back of like five losses in a row. Yeah. Some terrible form, but
they played because of COVID as well. Yeah, for a few weeks.
So the fact that they came out and they had a go at it, it's a semi-final. You don't get another shot at it. That's it. St. Johnstone won those two cups and fair play to them last year, but didn't they do it in front of the fans? So I'm sure the fans would have liked to have seen something from them yesterday. They brought an all right crowd for St. Johnstone, but for that to go ahead and them to get what a long range shot from Bryson is the closest they'll get. And not even that, like, if you're going to be a team that defends like that and gets back into position, that's fine, because they did make it difficult for Celtic and they're very, very good at doing that. But you have to have something going forward. Was it going to be as simple as, let's get a corner and hope we can get a goal from that? Because they offered absolutely nothing. Even the changes they made did absolutely nothing, and ultimately they got what they deserved.
We're not talking about like a second division, the romance of the cup team here. We're talking about an established Premiership side who, as we keep mentioning, have won both cups recently. It's not as if it's the first semi-final they've been to in 100 years, so they let the occasion get the better of them. They just chose to play like that. And I think there's a kind of general theme in Scottish football, probably in wider football, I don't know. But certainly on the podcast, we come to accept that certain teams will play like that against Celtic. And we almost kind of patronise these teams by saying, yeah, but they've got a game plan and they're so organised and all of that. I'm sick of this sort of mealy mouth, faux respect we pay for this. I've kind of gotten to the end of my patience with it. I'm just like, that's just pish.
They were well organised, well done. At least the St. Johnstone fans got to watch Jota in full flow. That was something for them, because I think Jota is our gift, Celtic's gift, to this bum league. Because that boy was absolutely dancing.
He's dancing again, and it just seems like every game he plays.
Hey, Scottish football, once again, you're welcome.
He's one of those players that you are excited to watch, and you can't help but be excited, because every time he gets the ball, like, something could happen. And that Rabona cross he done it over in the first half, you're like, okay, players do that and there's nothing comes of it. They maybe do step overs before they even get to a player and just does nothing. He's got the end product to the skills, the flair, and it's just sublime to watch every single game.
Yeah, and that Rabona cross could have been even better as well if it wasn't for, I think, David Turnbull. I've seen it back a couple of times, could have been a wee bit more aggressive with it, try and get on the end of that, stick it away, and what an assist that would have been. Because I think technically, because it didn't fall with Turnbull, that just goes down on the spreadsheets for those enthusiasts of that kind of thing as an incomplete cross.
Do you know, if he didn't take the piss out of that guy at that moment in time, pirouette and do a Rabona cross, he could have created a better XA opportunity for himself, and we would have maybe not scored that either. Jota is just another one of these players that he's really, really found his feet at Celtic under Ange. He's player of the month for October. October. I've lost track.
Big
of
surprise that. What month, what
month
believe it
is. I know. But there's a couple of players now you're starting to see. Juranovic, for example, solid, absolutely solid. And I know there's a lot of talk about signing Jota, and it's a no-brainer, we should absolutely sign him. But I'm starting to look at Carter Vickers as well, Stephen, and go, get him signed up, I know. Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. Carter Vickers I've been talking about for a while as a kind of unsung star of this team. I think he's been absolutely brilliant. Can't really pinpoint any mistakes he's made, really. And Starfelt's had a couple of dodgy moments, as most defenders will have. I'm sure there'll be some in there. He misplaces the odd pass. That's the best I can do to criticise Carter Vickers. I think he's been absolutely brilliant. And I think a couple of weeks ago, and for a while now, we've been talking about the defence and how it's really solid and it's limiting teams to almost no chances in games. And it kind of comes under this cloud of this, just this suspicion that the Celtic defence is always ropey.
Yeah.
It's just always dodgy. It's always the dodgy part of the team. Whenever anyone's talking about it, you hear countless pundits, such as they are in Scotland, talking about how, yeah, they're great going forward, but they need to show things up at the back. We're not conceding any chances, mind goals. And when you break it down into its individual parts, all of them will probably have had some degree of criticism so far, but when they come together, it's an absolutely solid unit. You look at the keeper who we've dragged in for Burnley and Spurs and all that, who doesn't suit the system, and he's a former England keeper, can't dive to his left and all that. We've got him behind the Bricky, the Spurs reject, the bomb scare, Starfelt.
Bricky means two things, doesn't it?
Yeah, yes it can. Stephen Welsh, who isn't good enough for Celtic, Greg Taylor, who isn't good enough for Celtic, Juranovic, who's actually a right-back playing at left-back. None of that should work. If any of that's to be believed, none of it should work. They're an absolutely great unit together, and we're barely, as I say, barely even allowing chances, never mind goals.
And it's all down to Ange. It's all down to Ange. I was listening to Ange talk to, I think it was an Australian radio station, midweek, and he was saying when he first came into Celtic, and it's an interesting interview if you want to check it out. He was saying when he came into Celtic, he now feels like he's had enough time with the players, they're all starting to buy in. He says, but I wanted to play my way from day one, because he thought, if I'm not going to get much time in this job, he knew people didn't want him here and he wasn't a known name and all this sort of stuff. He thought, like, I might as well go out playing my own way. And I think it's true that it has taken some players longer than others to get into it, especially playing out for the back. The only people that have not really bought into that are the fans, kind of, this playing out for the back stuff. We did see a few hairy moments for that, Melly. But I think there's... We'll obviously talk a wee bit more about Jota, Kyogo. These guys are stealing the headlines, but there's some really good players in that defence.
There is. Throughout the whole team, everybody's starting to sort of flourish. You can, one or two players go out, one or two come in, and it's not a completely different setup. It's not a complete change in performance. And that's down to the manager, who has came in from day one and said, this is how I'm going to play. Let's get on board. And also the players... as well, buy into it. Anthony Ralston's sort of the poster boy for that. Mm. At the start of the season, we were panicking. Why is he getting a new deal? What a state this club is in. To now, he's one of the first names in the team sheet, one of the most consistent players. And there's reasons for that. And look, a lot of their reasons is Anthony Ralston. He's got his head down. He's worked hard. He's played very well. And he's a really good athlete. But at the same time, we've given him the chance to be a really good footballer in this system. He's bought into it. And a lot of the other players have too. If footballers are going to be at their best, they need to be confident, they need to be comfortable on the ball. And this system, this way Ange plays, allows players to do that. I mean, a guy like Anthony Ralston is coming in looking like one of your better players. The reason for that isn't just one reason. It's the manager, it's the player, and it's also the system as well. We've seen it last season. We didn't have a system. We didn't have anything. The players looked like they were playing with no instructions. Well, they know exactly what they're doing now. They're playing well and they're playing with confidence. And the best thing about it is it's tremendous to watch.
We produced a unique new idea for the Patreon. It was a commentary track. So we sat down and we released it during the international break for all patrons. And we gave our thoughts like commentary. If you've ever watched like a film commentary track or whatever, we just commentated on the game as live. It wasn't play by play, but it was like the full 90 minutes of the Manchester City game from a couple of seasons ago, the 3-3 game. And we played an interesting game in that one, all of us, where we spotted how many times Craig Gordon's long kicks actually fell to a Celtic player. It was hardly any, by the way, dear listener. The reason I bring that up is because it makes infinitely more sense trying to play it. It might not work every time, but sooner or later, with good coaching, good management, the players will get it. And it's a much more efficient, much better, more entertaining way as well to play.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh,
sorry, I didn't look at anyone there. I'm sorry, it was my fault.
No doubt. And we've been talking about this for a while now, and I feel like it's getting better. Yes, you will concede a couple of chances in that. It's just the nature of football. Yeah. Nothing's perfect. No team will ever have a 100% possession. It just doesn't happen. Like we'd laugh about having 80% possession against these teams, but you will another team will have 20% possession. That's not a failure on Celtic's part, and conceding the odd chance isn't necessarily a failure either. It's just the nature of football. It's unpredictable, and that's why we enjoy it so much. But by and large, when you play out from the back, you keep the ball, and as we've just discussed, you don't concede chances, you don't concede goals, you keep the ball an awful lot more, you should create more chances. And when people are urging the use of just launch it, just get it up the park, and you still hear a lot of that. Mm. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. You pay your money, you're entitled to the opinion and all that, even though I don't actually agree with that. You're not entitled to your opinion if it's rubbish. But you do still hear people just launch it, but no one ever really thinks about the second phase of that.
Yeah.
What happens next? Right, let's say we do just punt it, that it comes straight back, then we punt it again.
Yeah.
You know, just a constant...
Hit it harder.
Harder and truer up the pitch.
Yeah.
Just end up playing a game of tennis, basically over the halfway line. And that's crazy, really. Of course, there are circumstances during which it is necessary to hit it long, because you don't want to just play yourself into trouble deliberately. But by and large, playing out from the back has served Celtic extremely well, not only this season, but for several seasons now. I mean, I don't think any manager worth his salt comes into a club and just says, let's head it long. I mean,
did you see that guy? I can't remember his name. Some Rangers fan on, sports journalist Rangers fan on Twitter. He made the point, and I memed it from 20 minutes time. Sorry, he made the point where Giovanni scored a lot of his goals outside the box. So I wonder if that's what we're going to see for the Rangers team. And I thought,
yeah,
what the fuck are you talking about? Is he just going to say it, lads? Right, lads, I used to, a wee trick, right? Hit it, fair side. They all shut up, and it's the same.
That has no more, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was really good at that, but that has no more merit in it than Ronaldinho coming into your team and saying, by the way, see some of the stuff I used to do. Just do that, and we should be all right.
So I don't know why I mentioned that, but it's sort of connected to this theory that some manager for olden days is going to come in and start telling Joe Hart to go long with it. That's the new tactic, and that'd be terrifying if it was.
Yeah, we've seen it a lot of times. I mention it quite a lot when I'm at games. Let's see, if you start a game and think, right, I'm going to see how many times, if Joe Hart does punt it, how many times Celtic win it. And it's won it most in most games, because look who he's punting it to: Jota, Kyogo and Abada. Mm. We're not going to win it. If anything, you're going to win second balls. But Celtic have got too many good players to be playing like that. Yep. Look, every player throughout that team, even down to Neil Beaton, had a good game during it. They're all good on the ball, and I include Ralston in that, Juranovic in the other. Good footballers on the ball, technically. Wasting it if we're just going to punt it up the pitch. And even, like, I thought Beaton played well, but within that, we could have done a bit better, couldn't we?
I thought there was a big butt coming there for Beaton.
I'm trying to word this again properly, because while Beaton played well, I still feel it was a bit too pedestrian at times. It was between him and the two fullbacks when they moved in the centre half. There was too much playing about there. And while I'm all for keeping ball and recycling possession, sometimes you need to make those passes into midfield and get players on the turn. But I felt we missed a bit of Rogic. But it's not as if it's Beaton's fault, because he's simply not Callum McGregor in that position. He's just a wee bit different in the way he plays. But I felt in the first half and the start of the second half, we weren't moving the ball into midfield quick enough, which meant we weren't getting out wide, which meant they obviously got into shape. But at the same time, I still felt Celtic would win this game.
Speaking of being in shape, I like your jumper.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Scott, a little astronaut on it.
I also need to apologise. I'm having some throat issues from the mouthwash that I swallowed earlier on by accident. Very burny.
Who was it? That's just put me in mind of something. Was there not a footballer who once got injured for dropping a bottle? No, it was aftershave, wasn't it? I was going to say.
I dropped
a bottle of aftershave on his foot or something like that. I was going to say, you got a pre-match injury here, but I was swallowing some mouthwash. But on Beaton, I think Melly's right. I think both things can exist, though. I think you can say he had a good game individually, because he did. He broke down some attacks, big air quotes attacks from St Johnston, but that's fine. He snuffed things out.
He broke down their attack.
Yeah, he broke down their attack. But he snuffed things out in midfield, and even had a couple of really nice bits of skill, a couple of nice passes as well. That pirouette was absolutely lovely. But at the same time, it can also be the case that he does, it maybe not necessarily moves the ball quickly enough for a team that wants to move the ball really quickly, and a team that it's really of utmost importance that they move the ball really quickly against a team like St. John's. Yeah. And that's kind of the whole idea against trying to break through a thing like that. But I think both things can exist. I think Nir Beaton did have a good game.
I think we need to talk about Abada again. I think when James Forrest came off the bench, I think, do you think that maybe signalled the end of Abada's run at that right wing position, Stephen?
Yeah. For now, I think James Forrest, after the goal, and you know, not just the goal, he's James Forrest, I think he certainly deserves to play a bit. Now, that's not to say that I'm writing Abada off and it's going to be James Forrest's position forever, because it just doesn't work like that. We could find out that in 5-6 weeks' time, James Forrest could have a niggly injury again, or yeah, he could be have his own inconsistencies and Abada comes back in. But what's good is that we've finally got competition for the role.
I was honestly surprised Abada stayed on for as long as he did, because he didn't. I mean,
he's pish.
I mean, look, you always get stuck when you do these. I was listening to another podcast the other day, and I'm going to quote it badly, but I did say this in the reaction, I'm sure. If you have a black and white opinion about something, you offend 50% of the people who don't agree with right. you. But if you're in the middle of the road about something, then you offend the majority of the people right. that don't agree with you, right? So you kind of have to pick one way or Abada here. And I'm going to caveat by saying he's young, so he's a player that's going to improve. But Melly, he did nothing in that game.
Yeah.
Nothing.
He is suffering from the fact that he plays alongside Kyogo and Jota, who are just absolutely tremendous players. And
that should spur him on, if anything.
Exactly. And the fact that James Forrest comes on and scores, probably just...
I would suffer as well if I was rubbish compared to those two.
I thought you were being like... But what you're saying is they two are so good, it's making Abada feel bad about how shite he is.
Yeah.
He's doing Rabonas over there. I can't even beat a man. Come on. Anything like that.
That is the problem.
We're going to get so much anger for this in the comments.
Those two are so good, but at the same time, we've spoken about...
rubbish, I don't know. I'm a weekend.
We've spoke about how, look, he's got goals, yes, but when you take the goals out of his game, like at the weekend, if he doesn't score, he doesn't contribute anything significant. Johnson are tough to break down, but that doesn't mean he can't take on a man and beat him. It doesn't mean he can't get any dangerous positions to score. And he didn't seem to do that. He is young. James Forrest comes on, and when you compare the two players, look, James Forrest a lot more experienced. He's played in a lot bigger games. He's been more consistent. But at that age, James Forrest was very inconsistent as well. And it took James Forrest until his mid-20s when he got Brendan Rodgers came in before he really flourished. So there's plenty of time for Abada, but right now, if you're offering me Abada or James Forrest to play the next game, probably,
both. No,
I'll be taking James Forrest, but at the same time, we need to be careful here, because we've so many games coming up November, December, until this January break, that we're going to need both players, we're going to need both options, but it'd be nice if both of them are playing well, and right now Abada isn't doing that.
Good hat for the goal, Stephen.
Yeah.
First of all, credit to Furuhashi for his persistent perpetual motion, his closing down of the goalkeeper.
But did he close down a keeper that
hit the ball long?
Bad pass. How did that
and Celtic? And Celtic scored from the result. Good finish. Good hit.
Yep, and also to mention Kyogo, who was celebrating before Forrest even hit the ball. Did you see that? The video back? He walked away with his hands in there before the ball even dropped at Forrest. Absolutely brilliant.
Poop on your party here, but I thought he was calling for the handball foot.
Was he?
We're going to talk about the referee. Anyway.
And somebody put their hand up, but I thought Furuhashi was wandered away celebrating. Get in touch, guys. let us know.
Let us know in the comments.
Down there.
You can actually do that, because the position you're sitting in the comments are directly below you.
A great finish. Funnily enough, you're never going to save it from that range. You're just never. No. I mean, Forrest had pretty much just drilled it home, as he should there. But the keeper just kind of came out and made himself smaller, right enough. He kind of led to his foot and just tried to kind of get his head out of the way of it. It was a bit of a weird approach, but taking nothing away from the finish.
Basically consigned to the fact it was going in the back of
the
net.
Yeah, exactly.
And rightly so, because Celtic created a chance. It was good from Jota on that left-hand side. He gets it across, and Abada does get into these positions, but you just want to see more from him. And there's James Forrest. This is what he's learned over the years, be in that position, because the ball might drop there. Celtic deserved to get the victory. It was a great goal, but the scenes when we scored was absolutely tremendous. I've seen the unique angle today with Cal McGregor and James Forrest celebrating together. This is a team, it's in unity. And look, when we talk about Forrest and McGregor, they've been there and done it, but with Ange Postecoglou and like what, maybe 7-8 of these players, that's their first visit to Hampden. It's their first final they're going to be playing in. While we've been to Hampden so many times, we've won a fucking quadruple treble, yeah, as ridiculous as that is to say. We maybe take it for granted. It's been a long time since we've walked back from Hampden and been unhappy, apart from when Lennon got the job.
Yeah, we were all at the game together, and we were walking back for the game, and we passed the spot in the street where I remember...
You got a shiver all of a sudden. You think, it must be here. It must be here it happened.
Did that, you know, that old lady members? I just remember, this is the part where some guy went, he's fucking been given the job. And then that's where I remembered.
I remember where I was too. I wasn't far on from where you said it as well, but when you look at the team, it's a new team, it's a new management, and they've came in and sticky start to the season, but they're passing these tests with flying colours. And now, and Ange Postecoglou said it, he said, look, back to that Hearts game in the first round, we were having a wee bit of tough time in there, but we got the victory. It was 3-2 in the end, but we're very comprehensive, and every round we've played in, we've just looked like we're going to get there. And look, getting to cup finals is tough. He's done it at his first gasp, and at least we're there, unlike some.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The last time any team called Rangers won a treble was nearly 20 years ago. There are people on our Patreon who weren't born. People listen to this podcast who weren't born the last time Rangers won the treble. So
that would have been Big Ek then. Alex McLeish won the treble.
Was it? Aye. Was it? Wow, yeah.
Good grief.
2002, 2003 was when Rangers last won a treble, and we've been picking them up like sweeties the last couple of years.
2002, 2003, all down to the old ABTs.
That's right. The thing is, though, it is important for Celtic to get back to these, because we have, I mean, you kind of look back to the quadruple treble. We need to work off last season, Stephen. We need to work and just picking this team up for where they left last season. Yep. Within 6 months, we're already back in Hampden finals. It's starting to feel like back to being Celtic again. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and there's a good lesson, I suppose, in that as well, because we're back to a final for the first time in a couple of seasons, when it maybe back then it seemed like it was easy. We just get into the habit. It was just a habit of getting the finals and winning them for Celtic. But then last season came around and said, not so fast. But then
I think a wee knock at the door there, it'll be a Mr. Neil Francis Lennon coming in to tell you that Celtic actually won a treble as well.
Well, yes, yes. Of course, yeah.
Last season.
They won a treble last season, that's right. Yeah. So they did. But yeah, we had that brief period, or four-year period, where we just won everything, and it's absolutely ridiculous. Now, that we've got a bit of distance from it, you look back and think it's astonishing. And a lot of water's been under the bridge since then, but you look back, it's just an incredible achievement. But your point there that any team called Rangers haven't won a treble for that length of time, it just reminds you that
they're pish.
Trebles aren't really, exactly, but trebles aren't really a thing. They're not the thing that people, that teams do.
No, apart remember Dialogue gets slated for mentioning it.
Exactly. People talk about trebles as if it's just the done thing. It's not. That's because Celtic have kind of normalised that.
How important is it for Ange to get in? I mean, say we get knocked out. How big a game was that for Ange at the weekend?
I think it was huge. And the now departed Mr. Gerrard, as we're meant to call him, it shows you, like,
why can't I buy a cardboard cutout and Ange Postecoglou anywhere? I want one. I never knew there was so many. You know, I've seen Alan Partridge where you're going to see his book getting pulped. I didn't realise there were so many of these cardboard cutouts of Steven Gerrard.
You're too young for it. You need to be over 40 and have it in your bedroom.
Okay.
But with Steven Gerrard, Mr. Gerrard, we've obviously seen the stick he's got for one trophy, nine. Mm. Well, if Ange Postecoglou can get a trophy in its first time asking before even January, it's a great achievement. And you can see how the belief he can get from winning a trophy, like days out, like Sunday was a good day in.
Mm.
It was a tremendous, the atmosphere before the game, after the game, it's absolutely bouncing. And it kind of felt like, I think I was listening to some of the Bertie Auld stuff, and he said, look, oh, we thought Hampden was a training ground because we were there so often. That's what it feels like. It's how it feels to be Celtic, because we are there so often. We need to get that back to show. Last season was just a blip. And the best days out are when you see your team winning trophies and going to these places and winning. And I want to experience that again, but I want Ange to experience it, because this is a new team, a new era for Celtic, and we deserve it. We need to go out and win this final, obviously, but we've been playing some great stuff recently.
Stephen, it was important for Ange, and just getting that first final under a belt, getting that first trophy. Obviously, we've got to get to the final in a couple of weeks. We'll do all sorts of Patreon coverage for it. We will be there. Well, I anticipate us being at the game. But Ange must be delighted to look how far this team has come in 6 months, you know, all the way. He's still in the midst of it. The rebuild, as we would be calling it.
People wanted him sacked.
The rebuild, as we would be calling it, is definitely still ongoing.
Oh, yeah.
100% ongoing. There's big question marks over what direction this club's going behind the scenes and all that sort of stuff. But for Ange, it feels like the ship has been steadied a wee bit, gradually getting back to me, saying that we're going to be at a cup final. You win it. We're edging back. We've got, you know, things are not happening over Ibrox way. We've got them in a couple of weeks. You know, between now and end of January, could be a really good time for Celtic.
Well, let's see.
It's thin ice, shaky ground. Don't want to wish it all away, but getting excited, I'm kind of tingling.
Exactly, and you know what? That wasn't actually really a question or anything. You just sort of expressed your excitement, and I get it. It's we'll see. We will see. We don't want to start talking as if we've won a trophy yet, but you know. The two big steps we're taking, I don't want to be disrespectful to Hibs or anything like that, because Hibs will be a tough game as well, but I think we were all anticipating not only a tough game, which we got on Saturday, but we were also expecting to get Rangers in the final if we got to it.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's two big steps towards the first possible trophy of a brave new era.
I would have wanted Rangers though, because they are pish, aren't they? Oh my God. That team's chucked it. And
they're telling you that. They're literally telling you that.
Corner goals is basically how they think. Like, they won the league last year, obviously, and they think, right, that's it. Assignment finished. You know, we won that one, and that's what some of the Rangers pundits and all that seem to think as well. Oh, they won the most important one. I heard Andy Halliday on his podcast saying that trophy last year was as good as fours. That's small club mentality, and it's no wonder your manager left.
So is talking up the achievement by calling it 55 as well.
Yeah.
Right, we get that, right? We're all aware of that. But I heard Sports Sound. I simply had to listen to Sports Sound because I knew it was after the Huns game of the weekend. And Kenny Miller was on, and he must have used the word 55 at least 8 times in it. And
this is after the defeat. Kenny Miller.
Just absolutely tragic. Stopped it. You simply must go back to calling it the title. You won the title, right? Yeah. Stop glorifying it. Stop gilding the lily by calling it 55. We it doesn't become worth three trophies because Andy Halliday says so, and it doesn't become worth five trophies because you call it 55. You won the title, which is great. I'm going to come across very bitter here, yes, I know. But
the best thing about Rangers losing is the memes that your dad sends you on WhatsApp. All the memes that you see.
Dad's app. There's a special level of WhatsApp that's just for dads as well. And all the memes come filtering through.
I've said this in this podcast before, but dads love that app that makes pictures sing. If you saw the Stephen Gerrard one was doing the rounds, but the best post laughing at Sevco meme that I've ever seen was the one I sent in the group chat earlier on.
Ticked every box. It was sort of incomprehensible, terrible grammar. It spelled T-H-E-R-E for they're out. It had a picture of Mickey Flanagan. It had a Celtic badge that said faithful through on it. It had absolutely everything.
Sevco. Sevco, not out there, out. Also didn't make any sense at all. Do you know what else didn't make sense? Nick Walsh's continued employment as a referee. You said it, Melly, in the reaction. You can tell when a referee's having a shocker when every player on the pitch is like, the fuck are you doing there?
So pedantic. So, it just ruined the game as a spectacle, or did his best to. It just seemed to be a stickler for the rules. But before that, sticking to the rules, that's fine, mate. But you're making terrible decisions with those rules as well. Like, you just didn't allow play to flow. I seen Cal McGregor right in front of me losing the plot with him. A second later, Murray Davidson losing the plot with him. Callum Davidson lost the plot with him. He was dishing out yellow cards to Kyogo for standing there, basically.
Yeah, I need to do this Kyogo one. So Kyogo got halved, right? Mm-hmm. And then kicked while he was on the ground, right? So Kyogo, the guy that halved Kyogo, got booked, right? So the only reason Kyogo is on the floor is because this guy committed a foul, right? Then the guy that kicks him also gets booked, right? And Kyogo stands up angry. Now, the only reason Kyogo's on the floor and angry is because he's been halved and kicked. Kyogo reacts to being kicked and he gets booked. And I thought to myself, you can't possibly... He's only human. How can the reaction to getting halved and kicked be the same punishment level as getting halved and kicked? It's mental.
It's crazy. And it was wee decisions like that that just infuriated everybody, the crowd, the players, the management. It was a shocking performance for a game that had no big decisions in it. There was no big penalty shouts. There was no wild tackles. Then Johnson did fling it a wee bit.
That was a definite red card. No.
It was pretty.
But didn't he get booked for that? Yeah. Which meant he saw it. I thought it was only worthy of a yellow. What? He went up and went wallop, right? What? It was no complicated thing. It wasn't a stramash. He wasn't. His view obviously wasn't blocked. He saw it and made the decision. What did you think happened?
It was Sean Rooney, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I laughed after that because he's a mad Celtic fan, and then after that, every time he touched the ball, he was getting booed by every Celtic fan.
I know. The only thing I can think of, if you see that and issue a booking, is that you've decided it's. It's one of those you jump and you raise your arms or whatever.
Momentum.
And yeah, your momentum is a counterbalance to your weight or something like that. So it's not deliberate. So it's worth a booking because it's reckless or whatever. That's the only thing. That's total speculation on my behalf because it's the only thing I can think of that wouldn't lead to a straight red card. It was an incredible decision. But on the referee, I mean, this is immense credit to the Celtic fans as well because they created an atmosphere in a stadium where it's no easy to do that during a game that didn't really live up to any kind of atmosphere. It was a poor game and the referee was stopping it every 2 minutes for pedantic reasons, as Melly said. So to have generated the atmosphere that they did, or we did, out of that is tremendous credit for that. But the referee, I've always thought that, the big cliche is that, you know, if they're having a good game, you won't notice them so much. You know, they'll just be in the background and they'll let the game flow. But he somehow managed to just annoy every single person in the stadium. And that's the opposite of what you want from a referee.
But it's every week. It's every week we're talking about referees with either terrible decisions or numerous petty decisions. And I honestly think at some points, I don't think it's true. The more you criticise referees, the more they try and piss off the players and the fans. Because we've seen this before when they went on strike. Because they were getting, they went on a strike because they lied to the Celtic manager and got found out lying to the Celtic manager. But I'm a bit, part of me's beginning to wonder if this is the referees going, right, well, if they're going to have a go at us, we're going to make sure we book every single person that does anything wrong for these games and they'll let the games go. Did you see the one in the Dundee United game? What game was it?
The Aberdeen game? Shoved him.
Yeah, the fan. What did you make of that? Because I saw Bobby Mad got a lot of stick for that, but I feel like I'm in the minority. I thought, you can't be squaring up to a fan.
Well, it was a second yellow card. When I first got told about it, I thought it was a straight red. Mm. But what's the guy meant to do? He's went to get the ball, momentum sort of carried him in, and a guy has shoved him. Is he just meant to go, oh, I can't do anything?
You're meant to just walk away. I think you can't square it, because that could start.
Could you not say that about Kyogo then?
No, because Kyogo, I like him.
Yes. Fair enough. Yep. Tick.
Yeah,
move on.
Yeah. The defence rests. Leverkusen coming up, but we do have Aberdeen as well. Stephen, what's the more important game?
It's Aberdeen, I think. Leverkusen will be a big test for the players, as it always is, playing against top European opposition. Of course, you look forward to those, but in terms of, you know, the stature, the importance of the game, it's definitely Aberdeen. You just need to keep winning. Maybe keep winning these domestic games. Leverkusen will be very, very difficult. Don't expect to really take much from them. I saw some highlights of their game at the weekend. They won 1-0. A header in the fourth minute from across from Frimpong. Yeah, it was a crying header, actually. He crossed Frimpong, put in a sort of, you know, that kind of cross we're always describing that James Forrest puts in, the wee kind of clipped hangy ones.
Yeah.
But it went quite far out. So the guy, it was like a standing header from about 8 yards, and he had to generate all the power from a standing header, and the keeper just sort of saved it about 6 inches behind the line. It was some header, but it would be a very difficult game. They're the runaway favourites and best team in the group. Yeah. One of the best teams in Europe as well.
I think I checked last time we played them, I think they were second favourites or something to win the whole tournament.
Oh, really? Yeah. Unsurprised. I think they're the fourth in the Bundesliga. Yeah. Fact fans as well. Do you know who was in? They were playing Bochum. So who were in a bit of form, actually. Do you know who was on the bench for them?
For Bochum?
Yep.
Can he?
Has something in common with Jeremy Frimpong in that he's a legendary Celtic right back.
Cedar Yanko?
Nope.
Gamboa?
It's Christian Gamboa. He's on the bench for Bochum. He's in the Bundesliga. Staggering.
Failing upwards.
Yeah, you can still find him. Another guy, Ralston, just displaced. It's going to be a really tough game on Thursday, but again, I'm not really fearing it. We might come out and get a beating. We got a beating at home, but I think we've got better players back now. And it is going to be tough. It's going to be the second least important the least important game of the two, but at the same time, you don't want to go out there and get scalped and then maybe take the shine off this momentum, because while we are playing well, while Rangers have went out of the cup, and while it was absolutely hilarious on and off the pitch what happened to them, the fact is they're still ahead of us in the league. Yeah. They've got a new manager in, and despite the fact that Gerrard's left, which is also funny, they've brought in the guy that's probably the best candidate. So Celtic can't be looking at this going, right, okay, We still need to make up these points, and there's a lot of games November, December until we play them. We cannot really afford to be falling further behind here, because they could go on a run, and I think with the cup final, one of our games is moved to later in December, which means we'll be another game behind, albeit for a short space of time. So it's all about just keeping up the momentum and winning games here. And if you're asking me if I had to win one out of the two, it'd be the Aberdeen game, unfortunately.
You know, my favourite thing about the appointment of Giovanni van Bronckhorst is
what?
That...
the names?
No. I thought, well, there's going to be that. The made-up names, and people are already sending us them. So thank you to you on Twitter for those hilariously terrible pun names in Scottish football. But my favourite thing, I didn't see the game yesterday, unfortunately, because I tend not to pay attention to Rangers games unless the old WhatsApp starts lighting up and I was going, But they went 1-0 down, and what I said was, come back to me after 70 minutes. Yeah, I don't care if they're 1-0 down. Far too early for that. So I was out for dinner in Glasgow's leafy West End. A succulent Turkish meal.
Succulent lamb.
So while the game was going on, I was getting more and more updates, and it was coming, more and more goals were coming in. And I was sitting there, and this was just a peek behind the curtain here. It was a thrilling race against time. It was a busy place I was in. The type of place that gives you the bill whether you've asked for it or not. But this was in the crucial time where I'm sitting hovering over the gif that we post after after every bad Rangers result.
Yes.
Again, Twitter followers will know about it. We've been posting it for years. The famous gif So the bill had already come and I can feel the tension a bit, but it was like 93rd minute or something. I can't leave before
the, I
don't know how important this is. So, but my,
try to laugh at Hunt.
My favourite thing about the appointment is that I hadn't seen any of this at the time, but I've seen some stuff back and I've heard some people talking. They're already blaming Fran Bronckhorst for not going into this dressing room at halftime. So he's starting off on a bad foot because he's effectively getting the blame for letting some Janny take the team yesterday.
It's slightly peculiar that he didn't take the team. He obviously got wind that the preparation wasn't going too well and there was a likelihood that they were going to lose this game. He thought, well, I don't want my first game to be like 2 days after I'm in the country and it all goes, you know, tits up. But at the same time, I thought to myself, shite bag.
I'd love to know what Rangers fans think he should have done at half time, though. Like, just bringing his big giant book of like Giovanni Brown Broncos playbooks. Right, here's what you do, guys. Here's the game plan I've been working on my entire career. I want you to digest this in 7 minutes at half time and go out and do it.
The thing about Giovanni, right, is he's the same height as Danny DeVito. So it's pure comedy. He's going to kick the door in and they expect his big figure and they're all like looking up here and then in walks Giovanni and he's like
Giordani DeVito.
Yes. And he's going to start reading them the riot act. No, it doesn't work like that.
I think it's been done before, like, but it has
Giordani
been
DeVito.
It has been guys like Sam Allardyce that have stormed in, but like on the coverage, like it was, as soon as a halftime whistle blew, they just zoomed in on him in the hospitality bit, sitting there with his wife and some other guy having a cup of tea. Like, Jinky's going to go down.
That's weird. I know.
No, not like the cast any aspersions on Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. He's just in the door, but odd setup he's got there. Don't know what's going on there.
But it's all there. When they lose games, it just goes nuts, doesn't it? It goes nuts.
That's brilliant.
They've seen, they're wanting Goldson out instead
Do you know what's so good about it? Do you know what's so good about it on this occasion? We've probably spent more time laughing at Rangers on this podcast than we have talking about Celtic. But do you know what's so good about it on this occasion? I do get the feeling that they've chucked it, the players. I get the feeling that they are maybe not a million miles away from where we were last season. Now, that's not to say a new manager come in and can't revitalise them and all that, because God knows sometimes changing the manager works, Celtic, and, you know, we could have maybe brought someone in and revitalised what was going on last season. But just the way they're talking, you get the feeling like they came to win that league and were promised moves and they won the league and the first chance Gerrard gets, he's like, well, I'm off. And the player's like, well, if he's gone, I might as well go. Kent and Morelos haven't kicked the ball for Rangers all season.
No.
They've barely signed anyone new worthy of mention. So to bring it back round to Celtic, we said a couple of, maybe a month or so ago, what represents progress for Celtic. And we said we need to be within touching distance of Rangers at the end of the season, right? Let's have a look at this now. But coming up to December, January window just round the corner. By all accounts, Celtic are gearing up to bring in some players for January. That's what Ange wants. You expect that to be seen through. 4 points going into the next Glasgow derby in January.
I'd be very surprised if it is 4 points either way.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is that the minimum? We can't, you know, that's the minimum now, isn't it? We want to look to overtake them before that game with all that's been going on. We need to capitalise in this Rangers slip up.
It's a lot of, Rangers do have difficult games over November, December. They have to go all the sort of top six away from home. We've had that run, but they are probably lucky in the fact that they have brought in somebody new and it'll be something fresh for them to do, because it looks like they've kind of needed it. So I'm no willing to say they can't turn that around and go on a good run, because all it takes is Celtic to drop points in two games, them to win them, and then you're looking at that going, oh dear, that's maybe 6 to 8 points. But if we get to the game in January against them, it's the one before the break, we really need to win it either way, but to go in it and have to win it to have a chance of staying in the title is a big ask and a lot of pressure. So would like it to be under 4 points, but we do need to lay a marker on them at some point.
We have to capitalise. Somebody asked us a question on the Friday phone-in, which is another Patreon podcast, like, do we want to beat Rangers or win the league or win the League Cup? I can't remember the specifics of it. It was beat Rangers or win the League Cup.
Both.
Right. we have to beat Rangers. It's been far too long since we beat them, and if we can't beat them after losing our manager and the performances they've been turning in and the players looking as if... Ange is making good progress, but the next big one is beating Rangers, isn't it?
I mean, even for the complexion of the season, we can't have lost twice to them. You know, it won't be game over, man, if we do that, if we do lose to them. But for the sake of dealing some kind of psychological blow to an already fragile team. Now, I don't want to get carried away with that because now that Van Bronckhorst is in all seriousness, I don't really expect anything to change from them because they've just really gone from, albeit have already peaked team, but a well-coached, well-drilled team
to be honest with you. I would not be surprised if Van Bronckhorst was a better manager than Gerrard, because that doesn't particularly rate Gerrard.
The only reason I would have paid any attention to it at all is if they'd made a disastrous appointment. Yeah. Right? If they'd gone out and sent and appointed Billy Davis or Derek McInnes or something like that, that would have been something notable. But all I can see happening is that there's very little between the two teams just now. They were already a pretty well-drilled team. That, you know, we haven't earned the right to call ourselves the best team in the country yet, right? We just haven't. So they're effectively, they're the top of the league. They've won the last derby. They're still the best team. I expect that to continue for now. It's up to Celtic. We need to concentrate on ourselves and we need to get back on their coattails and put as much pressure on them as possible, because we can't come at this from a point of view that, oh, they're going to just chuck it, because we've done that before and look where it got us. So concentration's all on Celtic at the moment.
Full steam ahead, foot on the gas for Celtic. Support Ange in January. That's the most important thing. We've got a couple of important games coming up. Very busy December month. Lots of coverage from us on patreon.com/20minutetins. But this seems like a good place as any to wrap up. Do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think we covered... Did we laugh at Huns enough? It's up there, but
yeah,
it is on the
agenda. I think people are more than happy with our laughing at the Rangers pass. Yep. And on that, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for watching to everyone on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, most people that watch it on YouTube aren't yet subscribed. Just hit that subscribe button. And also, if you hit the notification bell, you'll know when it comes out. So you don't have to like tweet us and say when's it coming out and stuff. You'll get a wee notification. Thank you. Stephen, would you like to say goodbye?
Yes, thank you very much for listening, folks. And sure, thank you very much to Bertie Auld. We didn't get much of a chance to, but that tribute at the game was enough. That summed up better than we possibly could. So that was for you, Bertie, and you know, thanks for the memories.
I'll echo that, Mr. Celtic, the life and soul, and a good weekend to be a hoop.
Thanks for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.